saving money on exterior wall lights. Now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Jessica, and you're listening to the Asian Madness Podcast. Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Asian Madness Podcast. Hope you're all keeping yourselves hydrated because, you know, health is good. Just as a heads up, today's episode was written and researched by the writer I had mentioned a few episodes ago. Why do I tell you this? Because I want to be transparent. I won't be doing any more of these writer announcements in the future, but we'll be making a note of it in my show notes so she's properly credited. I've also made some changes to the script so it sounds more typical Jessica. With all that out of the way, let me slowly slide into today's topic. So, online dating. How many of you have tried it? I need to do a poll on this because I'm kind of curious. Most people I know personally have tried it, and some of them even married an online match, myself included. So another question I have is, how many of you have had bad experiences with meeting people from dating apps? I don't mean like, oh, they were so boring, or she was rude to the waiter, or he got too drunk from one beer. That's annoying. But how many of you have felt unsafe, sketched out, or violated? I think most people tend to be on their best behaviors in the initial stages of meeting up. We want to show our best side. Sometimes we don't see the flaws or red flags because we're looking through rose-tinted glasses or we're too trusting. And I don't have to tell you the number of safety mechanisms we women have to put in place before meeting a stranger in a bar or a restaurant for dinner. Switching on live location, informing 3 friends where we're going and what time we expect to be back, sharing the person's social media handles and information. Sounds extra, but better safe than sorry. Most times it turns out to be fine. Nothing bad happens. But there are exceptions. This story is one of the times that went horribly wrong. Woman and man meet online, decide to hang out and meet. Everything's fine until it's not. This is the case of Benilyn Burke and her daughter, Jellica Burke. Let's begin. Benilyn Aquino was born in the year 1995, and I believe she resided in Manila, the capital of the Philippines. Growing up with an older brother, Oscar, and a sister named Sheila, Benilyn was known for her ambition even as a young girl. She dedicated herself to her studies, worked hard as a teenager to earn her degree, driven by desire for a better future. But in 2015, when she was only 20, her life took an unexpected turn. She met a man named Lexington Burke, a landlord from the UK who was significantly older than her, almost 40 years her senior. They connected on a dating website, and despite the huge difference in their ages, they found something special in each other. This is quite difficult to imagine, as she could basically pass for his daughter, or even a granddaughter in some cases. While I'm sure it's possible for them to find some special connection, it could be rather difficult to imagine what they had in common. Do huge age gap relationships work? They could, but statistically, they're more challenging. Also, she was only 20 years old. It does sound a bit predatory, you know? I also read that she was under 5 feet tall, so that would make her look even younger. I know 20 is considered an adult legally, but it's still extremely young. Maybe they both were able to find common ground and get what they needed from each other. Either way, their relationship progressed quickly, and around 2 years after they started seeing each other, Benilyn found out that she was expecting. Imagine becoming a new parent in your early 60s. Sounds pretty exhausting. We can't deny that Benilyn and Lexington's relationship was rather unconventional. This obviously goes against the marriage tradition of first comes love, then comes marriage, blah blah. We all know how that song goes. But because this is the 21st century, the idea where two people must be married before having babies is not necessarily followed. But throw the age gap in the mix, it does make it a bit more complicated. So like many other expecting couples who are not married, Lexington decided to make an honest woman out of Benilyn, so the two planned to get married. They celebrated their union with a beautiful wedding on the island of Samar in the Philippines, the third largest island located in the east. A month after their wedding, August 2018, they welcomed their daughter, Jellica, into the world. Kind of like my name, Jessica just replaced the two S's with two L's. So Lexington is originally from the UK, and understandably, there might be some perks to moving back to the UK. Not just for him, but also for his new family. Benilyn felt that by moving to the UK, this would be a chance to explore her future, and the UK would very likely provide more opportunities for her daughter as well. So, that was settled. Benilyn was on board with this decision, but it would also mean leaving her family and her friends behind, basically everything she's ever known. It's a tough decision, but she was determined to make a new life with her husband and daughter. So about a year after Jellica's birth, the family of three up and moved to the UK. But not long after arriving in the UK in 2019, the cracks in their marriage began to show. The dream of a happy life together soon turned sour, and the marriage fell apart. It could be for a variety of reasons, ranging from a new environment to their age gap. Either way, Benilyn found herself alone in a new country, a single parent facing the challenges of a foreign land. One advantage, though, was the fact that they moved to an English-speaking country, and seeing how many Filipinos speak English really well, I would assume Benilyn just had to get past the accent and adjust to the local culture. Then everything would fall into place. Despite these hardships, she managed to carve out a new life for herself and her daughter. She moved to Kingswood, a small area just 3 miles outside of Bristol. If you're unfamiliar, Bristol and Kingswood is about 100 miles to the west of London. In this new home, she experienced a sense of freedom and independence she had not felt before. It marked a new beginning for her and Jellica, a chance to build a life on their own terms. Not long after the marriage with Lexington dissolved, Benilyn busied herself trying to get her life together and to help create some stability for her daughter. The most important piece of stability was having an income, and Benilyn worked hard to provide for her daughter. She took up a part-time job in a care home and also did some online sales for vacuum cleaners. She did what she could, and although it wasn't glamorous or making her rich, it was enough money to get by. And with whatever little extra she had, she would send it to her family back in the Philippines. We touched on this topic many episodes ago about overseas foreign or Filipino workers. Although Benilyn did not leave the Philippines as an OFW, she was still determined to do whatever she could for her family back home. This just shows her values and how close she was to her roots and her family. While Benilyn was described as a wonderful and adoring mother, her main desire, though, was to love and be loved in return. Like many people out there, she yearned for a happy and complete home where she felt safe and cared for so she could stay home and focus her attention on raising well-rounded children. She also joined some online mom groups to connect with other moms, get advice, and to meet new friends. Life must have been pretty lonely, and any kind of help would be useful. Between working, caring for her child, and making things work, she also decided it was not a bad idea to get back on the dating world. Sure, her first marriage fell apart, but that doesn't mean there isn't someone else out there for her, right? Most people take some time to recover from a relationship and then get back out there. So Benelin signed herself up on a dating site called Filipino Cupid, referred to as the number one Filipino dating site. I don't really know anything about this site, nor have I used it, but based on the success stories section, it feels very targeted for foreign men to match with Filipinas. As an Asian woman, I know the jokes and comments about Asian women dating white men. This is not at all meant to judge, and you guys know that I'm not weird about that, but just wanted to make an observation because it does kind of lead to who Benelin ends up matching with. As we know, the pandemic hit the world hard in early 2020, and the whole lockdown and precaution taking lasted for a while. It was during COVID in early 2021 when Benelin met Andrew Innes on Filipino Cupid. Let's not forget that Benelin was probably in a rather vulnerable state at this point. We all know about how online dating can be rather dangerous, and while she might have thought about it, it was not enough to keep her away from trying to date. She did meet her first husband off the internet after all, and even if the marriage didn't work out, he was a normal guy, so what could go wrong? Well, anything, nothing, and perhaps everything. So who is this Andrew guy? Not much is known about him, but here's what we have. Born in 1970, Andrew Innes studied at Alva Academy before going to Aberdeen University for his higher studies. He later went into a career in computer gaming, consulting for several companies in the Scottish city of Dundee. But Innes's life took an odd turn when he, out of the blue, moved to Japan, embracing a new chapter with his Japanese wife and their children. That marriage, though, didn't last very long, and in 2019, he was deported back to the UK. That should have been a red flag for anyone, unless, of course, he never disclosed this. I don't really imagine this coming up in casual conversation, and no one would explicitly ask someone this kind of question either. Why he was deported, I do not know, but he did return to Scotland and attempted to restart a new life. Andrew continued to look for connection and companionship through online dating. He joined 34 different dating sites, which is kind of impressive. I guess he was really focused on his goal of finding himself a new partner. Well, not surprisingly, one of those sites was Filipino Cupid. This particular site attracted women like Benelin, who were also in search of companionship. Is this story starting to sound familiar to you? I personally feel like it's almost an exact copy of Benelin's life, only with a few minor differences. Both married people outside of their nationality and lived in a country not native to them. Both experienced a failed marriage. And lastly, both ended up online, looking for people to vibe with. Most times when people meet up with online dates, the idea behind it is simple, as in there's usually nothing too calculating behind it. Conversation is good, let's meet. We seem to hit it off, let's go for coffee. They seem nice and they're cute. Let's grab a drink. But in this case, it was not so simple, because Innes, it seems, had meticulously compiled a spreadsheet, a cold, calculating method to categorize and evaluate women he encountered on these sites. This spreadsheet revealed his systematic approach to selecting potential partners, grading them based on criteria such as age, height, weight, and whether they had children. Is this weird? I'd say it's probably not the norm, but in a sense I can understand why. He wants to be sure he's finding someone who ticks all his boxes. He's probably less of a go-with-the-flow kind of person, and more of a fact-based guy. Perhaps his personality and background in computer adds to this need to keep a spreadsheet. His spreadsheet, though, maybe not so surprising, shows that his preferred demographic was mostly Asian women in their mid to late 20s who were mothers to very young children. This is why I lightly brought up the demographics from the dating site Filipino Cupid, where you see many success stories featuring white men and Filipino women. It was through this calculated and predatory strategy that Innes met Benelin. So it's early 2021 and COVID is still thriving. Benalyn is 25 years old at this point and has been living in the UK with her daughter for over a year now. She's thousands of miles away from home, but still connected, speaking to her sister, Sheila, every day. So unsurprisingly, Sheila knew about Andrew as well, because women friends always tell each other these kind of things. As the two chatted and got to know each other better, Benalyn and Andrew's bond began to grow, and of course, they decided to meet. Despite COVID-19 restrictions, he drove 440 miles from Dundee to see her in Bristol. Some people can't even carve out 10 minutes for you, and then you meet this guy who's like, yeah, I'll drive hundreds of miles just to see you. For some, this is an incredibly romantic gesture. For Andrew, though, he was in the initial stages of laying a trap. What kind of plan, you ask? His plan was to go meet Benalyn and bring her and her daughter to Scotland. Benalyn hadn't even met the guy yet, so she was pretty hesitant. After some back and forth, they settled for a meeting in Kingswood because Benalyn was rightly cautious. You barely know this guy. If he lived like 10 minutes away, yeah, okay, maybe less questionable, but hundreds of miles away, in this unfamiliar place called Scotland? Andrew tried to entice her with some incentives, even offering her a job as a community relations manager at his company in Dundee for £1,000 a month. It's not going to make her rich, but it's an attractive offer as it could provide stability. But again, she refused out of caution. Since Andrew drove so far to go see her, he decided he would stay the night in Kingswood because it didn't really make sense to drive back and forth like that in one day. According to Google Maps, this trip would take approximately 7.5 hours by car. He supposedly wasn't able to find a hotel for the night, so Andrew ended up sleeping in his car, which made Benalyn feel bad. Some of you might be wondering, was he really not able to find a hotel room anywhere? I get that it was a bit of a short notice, but hotels and Airbnbs exist. Or was it a ploy to get Benalyn to feel guilty, as if his quote-unquote sacrifice now meant that she owed him something in return? Sometimes people do nice things for others, and it's not uncommon for the other person to feel kind of bad, like, oh, I should reciprocate or make it up to them. While some people are genuinely nice and don't expect anything in return, some others, like Andrew, are quite the opposite. Either way, Andrew's little plan worked. Benalyn felt bad about refusing to go back to Scotland with him, so she changed her mind and agreed to make the trip after all. She had also told her sister about this, describing Andrew as caring and kind. Andrew, again, was a lot older than her, but only by 25 years this time. If she was able to accept a 40-year age gap with Lexington, 25 seemed a lot less daunting. Upon hearing her sister's words, Sheila wanted Benalyn to go have fun and take a chance on happiness with Andrew. I do not think Sheila did anything wrong at all, because how was she supposed to know what was to happen? On February 17, 2021, Benalyn got in the car with Andrew and began traveling to Scotland with Jellica and another child, planning only for a short weekend stay. This thing about a second child is kind of confusing, and I will admit it. This second child thing will come up again later, but just keep in mind that there are reports mentioning another child who was traveling and staying with Andrew and Benalyn during their short courtship. As for how old, I cannot say for sure, but definitely older than Jellica, who was just a toddler. My guess is that the child is around 8 to 15 years of age. We'll discuss more on that later. So while on this long-ass car ride up to Scotland, Benalyn got on the phone to talk with her sister, Sheila, and Sheila, out of curiosity, asked to see Andrew. Benalyn introduced him, and the sisters engaged in light conversation with him during the car ride. Seems super normal, right? No red flags at this point, that's for sure. The next day, Andrew took Benalyn and Jellica out to explore Dundee. Benalyn excitedly showed Sheila Andrew's house over video chat, not knowing that this would be the last time they would speak.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
While it was supposed to be a weekend stay, days went by and Benilyn had not been responding to Sheila's messages all weekend, which was definitely out of character for her. The sisters were also best friends, and they had a habit of communicating every single day. So, understandably, Sheila began to worry. She texted and called Benilyn's phone multiple times, and each time it went unanswered. On the Monday after that weekend, Sheila was surprised to receive a text message from Andrew, the man her sister had been staying with. When asked where her sister was, Andrew gave her some story about Benilyn hiding in Glasgow with another man she met online, supposedly to avoid custody issues with her ex-husband, who was looking to take Jellica and deport Benilyn from the UK. But this didn't really make sense. If something like this was happening, I'd expect Sheila to be the first to know about it. Also, why would Lexington Burke, after a year, decide he wanted Benilyn out of the country? Not like there had been any arguments or custody issues going on. And even if he wanted custody, why would he do it in such a way that made her look like a fugitive? Sheila's heart was filled with worry as she tried to understand what was happening to her sister, and she couldn't understand why Benilyn hadn't contacted her directly. And why wouldn't she have stayed at Andrew's house instead of going to another strange man's house? Sheila begged to speak to her sister to answer all these questions, and Andrew kept assuring her that everything was fine and that Benilyn would get in touch once she was settled, as she had gotten rid of her phone earlier to stay off the grid. But this kind of silence was out of character, and quickly, the entire Aquino family started to get scared. Desperate for any sign of her sister's well-being, Sheila repeatedly asked Andrew for confirmation that Benilyn was alive. Andrew tried to reassure her, claiming Benilyn had found happiness and was settling in. He also said in the text that, quote, "Scotland is a very peaceful country. We don't have much crime at all," unquote. And still, Sheila couldn't shake off the feeling that something was wrong. Andrew seemed all too eager to distance himself from the situation, expressing his intention to move on and delete all their communication to protect both him and Benilyn, but more likely just himself. Still seeking tangible proof of her sister's safety, Sheila asked Andrew to send a video of her, but Andrew sent an older video, which heightened her suspicions. If Andrew didn't want to appear involved, why would he send Sheila any messages at all? Maybe it was to lead her down the wrong path? But by giving such information, he was becoming a key person in her disappearance. His grand plan didn't make much sense anyway, and in the long run, it's a good thing he got involved. The alarm was finally raised on March 1st, 2021, when Benilyn and Jellica missed a routine appointment back home in Kingswood. The last confirmed sighting of them was on February 17th, which would have been the day they left for Scotland, and their whereabouts were now unknown. Police became involved the following day, and the search was on. The Aquino family was already weighed down, but it got worse after Benilyn's older brother dreamt about her, where some photos of Benilyn and Jellica had their faces blurred out, almost like it was some bad omen. As days passed without any word from Benilyn or news about Jellica, the family's sense of dread deepened. The police in England received information that Benilyn might have been in Dundee after she was last seen alive on February 17th. They followed the trail of a car that had traveled the long distance from Dundee to Bristol and back during the lockdown. I guess if COVID restrictions were in place, it wouldn't be too difficult to track down which cars made that 400-some miles drive to and back. So with that information, police decided to give it a try and see what they could dig up. On March 5, 2021, around 3:20 p.m., the quiet street of Troon Avenue in Dundee became the center of a major police investigation into the disappearance of a mother and her daughter. Forensics and CID officers eventually swarmed the area, searching for any clues, and they were not prepared for what they would eventually find. Detective Chief Inspector Graham Smith, leading the case, saw the car in question parked outside Andrew's house and knocked on the door, inquiring about Benelin and Jellicoe. Andrew was honest about driving Benelin and two children up to Dundee, but that's about it. He then began claiming they left and refused to let the police search his house, giving all sorts of reasons and excuses. When his excuses weren't working, he claimed to be self-isolating due to COVID restrictions and then said that his daughter had just come out of the bath. But the police saw a girl in the house, fully clothed, no indication of her having a bath. I guess that's not a very good indication and reason to enter, seeing a girl in there. But when you add up all of Andrew's previous excuses, it was starting to look suspicious. So the police continued to insist to be let in, not caring if they were starting to come off pushy. Finally, they were able to push past Andrew and get inside, and there was nothing but chaos around. The kitchen was a mess, with pots and pans strewn about. The house was in complete disarray. When Andrew was further questioned and cornered, he flat out admitted to killing Benelin, saying, quote, "I killed her. She's under the floor," unquote. His demeanor was said to have been cold and callous, showing zero remorse or regret.
My name is John Lorden, and I've been looking into hundreds of unsolved mysteries over the past 5 years on my YouTube channel, Lorden Arts. And I've been known to bring a respectful, victim-focused approach to the stories that I cover while donating thousands of dollars directly to those cases and the charities that help them. Now, I'm bringing that approach and sensibility, along with some of the biggest mysteries I've ever looked into and some new ones, to a weekly podcast called Seriously Mysterious. From bizarre occurrences to unsolved murders and unexplainable disappearances, everything is fair game on this show as long as it's seriously mysterious. You can find Seriously Mysterious on your favorite podcatchers or by visiting seriouslymysterious.com. Let's look into the mysterious together.
He was taken to the station for further questioning, and it was during the search of his home that the police found the infamous dating spreadsheet, the one where Andrew cataloged women from 34 different sites, grading them on various attributes, including whether they had young children or not. This pointed to the sick preference he had for women with young children, and it's not the innocent kind of preference. His internet search history also showed premeditation, in which he searched for chloroform usage and underfloor storage, more like underfloor burial. During the interrogation, Andrew initially claimed that killing Benelin was self-defense, as she had tried to stab him first. Later on, he changed his story, saying that during a fight with Benelin, things escalated, causing him to lose his temper and kill her. He also chillingly admitted to killing her daughter, Jellicoe, days after killing Benelin. He was supposedly playing a game of hide-and-seek with her when I guess he got tired of the game and decided it was time to end the child's life. He was officially arrested after this confession, and the girl they found in his house, whom he claimed to be his daughter, was found to not actually be related to him. This is also the girl I mentioned earlier, the other child who was in the car with them. She was not Benelin's daughter, nor was she Andrew's daughter. She was a child who Andrew paid to have around, and you can imagine the kind of things he did to her. The short version is that he's clearly a pedophile, but why he decided to keep her alive when he killed Benelin and Jellicoe is unclear. It's terrible that Benelin and Jellicoe were murdered, but in a twisted way, this led to exposing his sick actions and saving this girl's life. After Andrew's arrest, the police went back to his home and began to dig up the kitchen floors. It took a week or two to finish their work in the kitchen because they needed to be careful. They didn't know how deep the bodies were buried, and by acting too quickly, they could risk destroying their bodies and evidence. Sure enough, 4 or 5 feet below, they found a large garbage bag and a smaller one under layers of concrete, indicating where Benelin and Jellicoe were hidden. Fenelon's autopsy revealed that she had died from severe head injuries and stab wounds to her chest area. A large hammer and a samurai sword were also found in his home, and Barry Mitchell, who led the forensics team, examined it and found Fenelon's DNA on the hammer, suggesting that it was the murder weapon used, and the sword was likely used to stab her afterwards. It was also later revealed that Andrew had gone to B&Q, a hardware store, right before the murders, and purchased a hammer. Jellica's autopsy showed that she had died from asphyxiation, with signs of pressure on her mouth and neck. It also showed that Jellica was killed 3 days after Fenelon was. Hours after Fenelon was found under the kitchen floor, the Aquino family got the call they had been dreading. In the early hours of the morning, Lexington Burke called the Aquino family to inform them that both Fenelon and Jellica were dead. Of course, the family that had hoped for a better future for their little girl was left in shock and grief. Even days after hearing the news, Sheila would keep sending messages to Fenelon via Facebook Messenger, hoping that one day she would get a response. Nearly 2 years after the tragic events, Andrew Innes faced trial at the High Court in Edinburgh for the murders. Fenelon's family, including her sister, Sheila, and father, Benedicto, traveled all the way from the Philippines to attend the trial. Jellica's father, Lexington Burke, also showed up for the trial. The couple may have been divorced, but he was still the father. During the trial, forensic expert Barry Mitchell also revealed that they had found Andrew's DNA on Jellica's body. The forensic team also found DNA belonging to Andrew and Jellica in a condom in a garbage bin in the kitchen, which, of course, explains Andrew's fascination with finding women who had young kids online. It's absolutely disgusting, and he reminds me of the disgusting piece of shit, Peter Scully. As if all that wasn't bad enough, the police also found DNA on a pair of black furry handcuffs, which belonged to the young girl in Andrew's apartment, the one he claimed was his daughter. She was obviously raped, and she told the court that he would pay her money to rape her. Andrew denied ever touching the girl, but the DNA evidence tells a different story. The testimony paints a very disturbing image of the situation inside that house. On the third day of the trial, Andrew took to the stand and gave his side of the story. It was a mix of incoherent ramblings about dragons, some emotional outbursts filled with self-pity, and disturbingly detailed accounts of his crimes. He tried to justify his attack on Fenelon, claiming that as she was cooking, she reminded him of two women he felt had betrayed him in the past. So it wasn't self-defense, and there was no fighting. Andrew also attributed his actions to the side effects of steroid medication he was on. He also claimed he hadn't buried the bodies in concrete, but rather, quote, "I dug them a respectable grave and gave them a Christian burial and then replaced the floor," unquote. This makes no sense because I see nothing Christian in his actions, whether the killing or his so-called burial. I highly doubt we should take anything he says seriously. I can't really tell if he's saying what he truly believes or if he's just trying to sound unhinged on purpose. Dr. Gordon Cowan, a psychiatrist who was present at the trial, told the court that Andrew clearly has a lot of resentment towards his ex-partners, and that resentment turned into murderer's rage. His defense team, of course, tried to lodge a special defense of diminished responsibility, saying he is unwell and although he killed them, he did not murder them. I don't get that. Is this related to premeditation, intention? Like he did it, but he didn't mean to do it? Someone needs to explain that to me. Andrew's testimony also veered into some uncomfortable revelations about his personal life. He spoke of a failed attempt at self-castration in interactions with someone he referred to as a sexual playmate. He also expressed anger towards his estranged wife over her choice to cut and dye her hair in ways that he did not like. Sitting there and watching Andrew launch into random rants about Fenelon, his ex-wife, and his personal problems could not have been easy for the Aquino family, who likely wanted to hear nothing about his struggles and just wanted to see him punished. I understand that everyone has their struggles and difficulties in life, But when it crosses into murder territory like this, any sympathy people could have had for someone like him kind of goes right out the window. I'm not saying throw this whole person away, or maybe I am, but if he's clearly unwell, he should get some kind of help. Luckily, his rants didn't garner any sympathy from the court. After a 5-day trial, the jury deliberated for 2.5 hours, and Andrew was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 36 years for the 2 murders. He was 52 at the time, so if he does get out, he would be what, 88? I doubt he'll live till then, and who knows what people do to pedophiles like him in prison. 2 weeks after the 2 bodies were discovered under the kitchen floor, Benilyn's friends in Bristol gathered at Brandon Hill Park to pay tribute to their friend. They laid a red blanket and put candles, flowers, pictures, and a teddy bear on it to remember the woman who had never harmed a soul and only wanted the very best for her daughter. One of Benilyn's friends from a Facebook group remembered Benilyn as a genuinely nice person. Quote, "She was the sweetest person I've ever met. She was so lovely." Unquote. I don't know what happened to the other girl Andrew victimized, but since she's a minor and a victim, it makes sense that her identity remains concealed. She actually played an instrumental part in the whole investigation, as she was a witness to the murders and sexual assault on Angelica. Not to mention, she was also a victim of Andrew's. I do hope she gets support and assistance because this is some heavy shit to deal with at such a young age. You've probably heard of the term survivor's guilt, and I can imagine someone in her shoes having these feelings at some point. It's completely unfair to put this on her, as she wasn't the one who killed them. What could she have done? If she had tried anything, she would have ended up under that kitchen floor as well. As for the Aquino family, it was traumatizing. Their daughter, their sister, moved abroad, away from all things familiar to her, only to end up brutally killed and buried under some shitty kitchen. Quote, "Benilyn had bright ideas and big dreams. She bravely left home to seek a better future in a country far away. Instead, she found the worst cruelty we could ever imagine at the hands of someone she trusted. We shall be forever haunted by what happened to her in this far-off place, such a long way from us, her family." Unquote. So there you have it, the rape and murder committed by a sick and troubled man who meticulously planned his dating matches, abused children, and murdered an innocent woman and her daughter. This goes to show how scary and unpredictable the world of online dating can be. I'm sure you don't need this story to tell you how dangerous it can be, though. So many women, like Benilyn, who only want to give their children a good life, are taken away from the world because they seem vulnerable. And the fact that this happened as recently as 2021, and not back in, like, the 80s or 70s, shows we haven't come that far in protecting our women. Online dating is not the problem, though it is a method for depraved assholes to get their hands on potential victims. But what can we do, except to be more careful of who we trust and meet? We hear about serial killers being super charming and normal, until they're not. Mental health really does play a big part in all this. Sort your problems out. Work on yourself. Instead of blaming victims for being too trusting, how about we blame perpetrators for wanting to cause harm? Unfortunately, we cannot rid the world of such depravity. So all we can do at this point is to be careful and watch out for our friends and our family. So stay safe out there, friends. Till next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.